Vandeham Sri Guru.
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 24th of May, 1974, in Rome, Italy.
Sri Rupam Chakrajatam.
I was also a student of Lava.
Yes.
Land in 1916 to 20. Under Professor Dr. W.S. Hartwood in Calcutta, Scottish Temple. He was my professor. What is your special subject for study?
Well, I would say, I suppose medieval philosophy.
Medieval.
But from a modern point of view. From a modern point of
modern.
View. Not, that is to say, I am not a specialist in medievalism or it seems to me that.
What is the concept?
I have some basic conceptions which are eternal. In the same way as your own, I should say.
In the Vedic literature, we have information, two eternals, Nitya Nityana, Chetana Chetanana. It is personally identified. There is one chief eternal. And there are many other eternals. So, that is means the chief eternal is God, and other subordinate eternals are living in, just like we are living in. We are in different forms, but we are eternal. The form is not eternal, but the owner of the form is eternal. And similarly, the chief eternal is God. That is described in the Vedas. Nitya Nityanam Chetana Chetananam Ekoja Bhuvanam Vidurati Samad. Chief eternal is the maintainer of the many subordinate eternals. This is the idea of God and the living. So we are dependent eternal of the predominated eternal. And there is another eternal, chief eternal, who is the maintainer of all these eternals and who is the predominator. We are predominated. This is the conception of Krishna consciousness.
Well, could I ask a question? I find in medieval European philosophy two different attitudes which I find difficult to reconcile perfectly. That is to say, the earlier Christians up to the 13th century, I suppose, were practically only thinking about God nothing else in the world. So that nature of human being, I mean, everything else tended to disappear altogether. As also in some Indian philosophy, I think. And then later on, with more modern science and so on, you got a different attitude in the Christians themselves, that is to say, an attitude of acceptance towards subordinate things, so that they became independent and finally, of course, broke away altogether. So that nowadays we have science without God at all. But there was a sort of period in the late Middle Ages when St. Thomas Aquinas sort of stopped thinking about God, only about God, and gave his attention to science, shall we say. Well, there was a sort of conflict there. I don't quite know what to say about it, whether I'm on one side or the other. That is to say, I would agree with the early Christian point of view, and your point of view equally well. There was Aquinas, for instance, who was a saint, but he was dragged into the world, if you like. I wonder whether you would disapprove of that, or...
Yes, these different types of philosophers are always there, not only in the medieval age, previously also. It is said, Nāso muni jasya matam na bhinnam. A philosopher is not a philosopher if he does not present a different view. This is stated in the Bhagavad. Tattva pratishtha sutayo munindya. Tattva, by argument, logic, you cannot come to the right conclusion. Because you may be a good logician, and then you meet another logician who is better than you. So his arguments may be stronger than your argument. Therefore, simply by arguments or logical premises, you cannot approach the absolute truth.
Oh yes, I agree.
Yes. And sutta-divinda literatures are also authentic literatures. Sutta means authentic literature, which is accepted. They are also various types. There are Vedas. There are four Vedas. Sam Veda, Yajur Veda, Adharva Veda, Rig Veda. Then the Upanishads are there. Then Vedanta Sutra is there. So if we study all this Vedic literature or any other similar literature, it is very difficult to find out the absolute truth. The sutra-bhinna, and if we take the philosophers, so one philosopher differs from another philosopher. Nāso manijyasya matam. Therefore, to approach the absolute truth, God, is very difficult subject matter. That our principle is Mahajana Jena Gatasya Pratyaha. Mahajana means the recognized persons, recognized by the Supreme Lord. such persons who follow. We have got a list of recognized persons. Less like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manu. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Manu's name is there. Yam Vivasati Yugam Pratyavan Aham Vayam Vivasan Manave Prabhu. This Manu. So Manu, then Kapila, then Prahlad, Jana, Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, Jamaraj. In this way there are 12 Mahajan. And we receive knowledge from either of them. That is bona fide, beloved. That is called parampara system. The original teacher is Krishna, and from him the sun god Vivasan learned it. He spoke to his son Manu. Manu spoke to his son Ikhaku. In this way the parampara system is coming, and that is bona fide. This is our to accept knowledge from the perfect person. All is bona fide Krishna.
And Christians, how do you exactly?
Yes, Christian, if you take just like Lord Jesus Christ, the bona fide teacher, and he has given his teaching, his commandments, if you follow those commandments, then you are bona fide student. But if you don't follow, then you are not bona fide.
And if you try to follow but fail, or if you...
No, you must follow, you cannot fail. It's like just Lord Das says, thou shalt not kill, you must follow it. If you do not follow, then you are not Christian. It is not the question of that you could not follow or you are weak to follow. You must follow.
But the Christians have a thing about forgiveness.
So whatever is there.
In the Christian religion, there's a strong emphasis on possible failure and forgiveness.
No, forgiveness is that. I know that in church the confession program is there. Forgiveness, suppose you are, or I am an offender, I ask your forgiveness. So you can forgive me once, twice, thrice, not more than. You cannot make it a profession that you go on committing sins and God will forgive. No, that is not. That is misconception. One, and that is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Opite sudhuracharam bhajati mamananna bhag sadhureva samanta. This sudhuracharam means offender. May, that is not willful offense. One person is accustomed to some bad habits, but he has taken to Krishna consciousness and God consciousness. But on account of strong habit, if he fails sometime, there is excuse, forgiveness. Not that willful committing sin and ask for forgiveness. That is not in common affairs you do not see. I've got practical experience. In my household life, I was proprietor of a big pharmacy. So my manager sold some morphia preparation to some unauthorized person. sure, the excise inspector, they noted it and made us a criminal. And the magistrate called me because I was the proprietor. My statement was given that I do not conduct the business directly. Of course, I am responsible for my manager's fault. But I shall be very strict in future. You can forgive me. Immediately I was forgiven. But next time if I go, if I say like that, that is not possible. That is not possible. So this forgiveness is good for accidental fault. But it cannot be continued. There is a wrong flavor.
Does that apply to all the rules of the Krishna rule?
Okay.
For everybody, I mean the rules about not drinking,
stupid. Yes.
Would that be a sin in a
yes.
non-Krishna?
No, it is for everyone. When you speak something from the Vedic scripture, that is meant for everyone.
I mean, a Roman who perhaps has never heard of Krishna before, he breaks all your diet rules, does he not? Every day. Well, I mean, is that a sin in him? If he drinks wine.
If he sings, Rome, all the people in Rome who have never heard of Krishna.
They eat, age, drink wine, and do all the things which, well, perhaps not all, but anyway, some of them, which are for people. Would that be.
He's asking if they're very sinful. If they're. That if they don't have any knowledge of Krishna or any of the rules of our movement.
Yes. Krishna. Ignorance is no excuse. If there is law, and if you do not know the law and you commit offense, that is no excuse that you do not know the law. Similarly, a human life is meant for understanding God. That is the main business of human life. If one does not know this law, then he's simple.
Yes, but the difficulty is for me, for instance, that I have the Pope here who is telling me perhaps the same thing in spirit, but different rules, different laws, practically. I mean, the spirit seems to me to be the same.
Law cannot be defined, but it can be modified according to the time and circumstances. But the different law cannot be defined.
Maybe you could ask specific examples of differences.
Well, for Roman Catholics it is right to drink wine, for instance.
Drinking, intoxication.
But not intoxication, but to drink wine.
What is wine? Is
allowed. Is perfectly.
He's saying that a Roman Catholic can take wine.
Mm.
The law allows them to take wine.
Or tobacco.
Or tobacco.
Meat.
Or meat. So the rules are different.
The rules are not different. But we have to see. Just like your commandments. The commandments there is, thou shalt not kill. Then how we can eat meat?
Well, that is a possible argument, but I'm thinking about even lesser things, such as wine or.
Wine can.
I mean, no Roman Catholic would admit that it was wrong to drink wine.
But wine is sanctioned.
I don't mean to get drunk, but I mean just to.
Wine for today's Roman Catholics, they think it is sanctioned.
They think so many. Other things also. Just like Roman Catholic, there is an example. They have allowed marriage between man to man. Do you know that?
No.
Yes. In New York, there is a paper, Watchtower. Watchtower.
Watchtower is a paper.
Yes.
They publish the monthly magazine. I have seen in that magazine, they are condemning that the priests have allowed marriage man to man. And
in New York, maybe. Not so really.
Christianity does not mean in New York it should be different and Rome it should be different. Then nobody is following.
Well,
could it be, Srila Prabhupada, that this sanction of wine drinking be from God? Could that sanction come from God? Do we think that is possible?
We don't find there is sanction by God to drink. But under certain circumstances, beverages, different types of beverages, allowed, not for intoxication, but for keeping health. That is different. Just like in the moon planet, it is mentioned, they drink somaras. Somaras is a kind of beverage made from extract of herbs. So, because it is very cold there, so they drink that, but not for intoxication. People drink for intoxication. Just like in medicine, so many drugs are used. Even opium is used, morphia is used, but they are not used ordinarily for a specific purpose. Even snake poison is used, but that does not mean a snake poison should be used perpetually. So, for benefit of the body under particular circumstances, something may be recommended, but that is not for general use or for intoxication. That is content. Just like animal killing is sometimes prescribed in the yogas. The purpose is different. But that does not mean unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse should go on. That is sin. So, if we violate the laws perpetually, then how we can consider as belonging to a certain group of religious system? There must be principles.
Well, I understand. I only think with the dietetic rules would be perhaps, I'm not sure, an obstacle to the spreading. I mean, such rules which are keen against European or American custom might constitute an obstacle to the spreading of Krishna consciousness. I mean, is in the church, in the Roman Catholic Church, you have the monks. Then you have the laity who observe less strict rules without being considered outside God. You don't have that. I mean, the Krishna movement is a movement of what we should call monks or religious.
No.
There is no laity in the Roman Catholic Christian sense people in the world who are doing messy things, I mean playing with drugs or whatever it is, because it's a job they have to do, belong to the church without being strictly religious.
At least the church people, the priests, they must follow strictly the rules.
Yes. But I mean the difference seems to be with the Christian.
Common man may not follow or cannot, that those who are teachers or the priests or the leaders or the executive head, they must follow. Otherwise, they cannot remain pure and they cannot take the position of teacher or head. Head must be clean. Other parts may be unclean, but the head must be clean, otherwise the whole business will spoil. Therefore, the strictures, rules and regulations must be followed by four persons. One person is the executive head, like the president or the king. And the other person is the religious preacher, priest. And the other person is the public leader. So, at least these three, four heads of the man, men's human society, they must be of ideal character. Otherwise the whole society will spoil. People will follow the heads. Jat jat acharati sreshtha tatta deva itarijan sa jat pravanam kuruti lokasna dhanuvartya. That's why in America, the President Nixon is charged with so many offenses. This is not good. He is the head of the state and he has been charged with so many pollutions. Then how people will follow? Example is correct.
Well, I don't know whether these accusations have been proved against Nixon.
What are the charges against Nixon?
Certainly, he already, it all depends on the standards that we want to have for a president. In other words, he has not been convicted, but he has accepted himself certain of the charges, that he has lied and he has tried to save his men, and therefore he has lied, and he has evaded taxes.
Well, I don't know about that. See, I don't know.
Well, there have been so many charges against President Nixon. No, whatever it may be, we are not concerned. But this is the basic principle, that the king or the executive head of the state, the brahmana, and the public leader must be very clean, otherwise society will spoil. That is it.
Yes, well, of course, I agree.
At the present moment, there is all over the world, we are touring all over the world. It is very hard to find out ideal class of men. That is the defect. The Vedic culture, the ideal class of men were the Brahmanas. Their qualification was truthful, self-control, mind and the senses, and then tolerant, very simple life, full of knowledge, practical application of knowledge in life, and full faith in God. These are ideal characters. But such men are not available at the present moment. Therefore, the social idealism is defect. Just like in your body, there are four divisions, the head, the arm, the belly and the leg. If the head is spoiled, then you are a madman. In spite of possessing hands and bellies and legs, you cannot walk properly. So at the present moment, the heads are spoiled. Therefore the whole world is in chaotic condition. People advance in education, still they are inimical, one man to another. If you are passing on in the street, the gentleman's house, there is a sign board, "Beware of the dogs, don't come," because he cannot believe anyone. You go to the airport, any high-class standard man, he shuts out the pocket, and nobody is believing. This is the result of modern education. You cannot find out an ideal person.
Is this due to machines, due to the prevalence of machines?
Yes. It is due to third class, fourth class men. There is no first class men. Brahmanas are considered to be first-class men. The Kshatriyas are considered to be second-class men. And the Vaishyas, they are third-class men. And the rest are fourth-class and fifth-class. At the present moment, there is third-class, some are all fourth-class and fifth-class. There is no first-class and second-class men. So unless they, at least, some of them are first-class men, ideal, the human society is doomed. It cannot be peaceful, full of sudras, fourth-class men. Now our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for creating some first-class men. This is our ideal. Therefore we forbid them not to take me, not to have illicit sex, not to, because these things are accepted by the fourth class, fifth class men. Unrestricted sex life, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, they are not to be indulged by the first class, second class men. In third class, it begins from the fourth class, fifth class. So, if one remains to the category of the fourth class, fifth class man, how he can be gender as first class? That's what these things are called. Because our aim is to create some first class.
Well, I agree with your point of view.
These boys, although they are young men, they never go to cinema. They are young men, they have got all propensity, but they are so elevated that given that all these low propensities, going to the club, restaurant, and cinema, or naked dance and this and that, because they are first class men. They cannot indulge in the third class, fourth class property. We are training them. That is required.
Well, yes, you said restaurants.
Yeah.
You think that depends on the restaurant? I mean, is that necessarily bad?
Yes, our principle is that we can eat only what is offered to God. So we cannot eat things in the restaurant because it is not offered to God.
Oh, I see, yes, yes.
We may prepare nice things for Krishna and offer him, and then eat it. This is our principle.
Yes, I see.
Jagya Sishta Sino Santa Mucchante Sarvatimishat. Jagya. Jagya means worshipping the Lord. So, worship the Lord. He is not difficult. Everyone is cooking for eating. Every home. So, cook certain things which is acceptable to Krishna. Then offer to him and take the prasad. There is no difficulty, but he becomes purified. Jagga Sishta Sino Santam Uchanti Sarvakins. Because willfully or not willingly, we are committing so many sins.
Yes, I appreciate that very much. I only say, is it not possible for things to be dedicated to God without actually being placed on the altar in that way? I mean, what people may be doing in different ways.
No, see, if you want to offer to God, then God is all pure. The things you offer, that must be pure. And you must follow the instruction of God. Suppose if you want to give me something eatable, as a matter of etiquette, you ask me, what can I offer you? And if I say that you offer me this thing, and that is what you cannot offer me according to your whims. That may not be acceptable, right?
Yes, I was thinking
that your dedication must be with the sanction of God. If you dedicate something which is not sanctioned by God, then that offering is not pleasing.
Ah, but I was thinking of things like work.
Huh?
The work which people do.
What?
That offered to God.
Service.
The work.
The bus drivers,
the
people.
Yes, also you must take sanction. Anything you want to do, you must take sanction from the Lord.
Sanction.
You cannot do anything whimsically and he thinks that you are rendering service to the Lord.
Ah, yes, but then the sanction, would that apply to scientific activities like engineering, whatever factories are producing? I mean,
would God sanction activities in the factory?
Technological,
scientific work?
No. There is no sanction. These are all sinful activities.
These are material activities.
But you have created all these things. God has not sanctioned. God has not sanctioned for running on a factory. Therefore, as soon as you run on a factory, you simply commit sinful activities. In Bhagavad Gita, you don't find any such sanction that you run on a factory, a slaughterhouse, or the problem and this business, and brewery. No such sanction. But you have done your wings. Just like in the last war, Mr. Churchill requested everyone to go to the church. What is that? The victory?
Yes, victory.
Yeah. And now, before starting the war, Mr. Churchill and company did not take any sanction. And when they are in reverse condition, that time you are going to be charged for it. The God cannot be made in such a way as order supply. That is not possible. This is not there. You start war whimsically, and when you are in a precarious condition, you go to the church and pray, God give us victory. What is this? This is commanding God. But you have to follow the commands of God. That is your position.
Well, Chamberlain tried to stop the war.
Eh?
Chamberlain tried to stop the
war. Well, Chamberlain might have tried to stop the war, but he could not stop the cause of the war. German people did not like the Britishers to occupy the trade all over the world. And wherever they went to train, they were restricted. I know this fact. In India, the Britishers monopolized all trade, and they would not allow German goods to come in. So that was the cause of the war. The German knew that the Britishers were purchasing from Germany and stamping made in London and selling in India at high price. And when the Germans go there, they are not allowed to enter. This is the cause of the war. The Germans still, they do not like to speak in English. They are so envious. So, Chamberlain might have tried to stop them, but his nation created the cause of the war. Why? There should be, that was the demand, the free trade. Germans in the, what is called, peace negotiation, their demand was free trade. Everyone, that is very good. Why trade should be? This is unnatural. Let there be free trade. General public, they want best thing at good price, at cheap price. So if Japan and Germany can supply goods, necessary goods, at cheaper price, why they should be restricted? Let the people take advantage of it.
But I don't think they are restricted now.
No, it is going on. In India, I know, they are selling sugar at 2 annas, 4 annas a pound out here, outside. And in India it is 4 rupees. But it is nonsense. It is going on. They want to import some war materials or something else. Therefore they want export exchange. So they are sacrificing the convenience of the local people for export exchange. These things are going on. These politicians, they create an atmosphere. Therefore I say, the head of the state, they must be clean. But they are all motivated. Therefore the whole world is in chaotic condition. Every politician has got a particular motive behind him. And when he cannot pull off, they declare war. That Pakistan. Pakistan, since the beginning of Pakistan, they could not make any economic condition very sound. But when the people are too much agitated, they declare war with India. The whole attention is. And they have been educated in such a way that India is the strongest enemy. Anything Indian they dislike in Pakistan. So this is going on. By the politicians, they are creating situation because they are not honest. They are not clean. And a clean man cannot become politician. Mr. Lloyd George said that consistency by the politician is the qualification of an ass. And there cannot be any consistency amongst the politicians. So that is the defect, that the politicians are the heads, the leaders of the society, and they are in disagreement. Everyone has got his own ideal. and the fight is going on, and the poor man in the state, they are suffering.